Fountains of living water are breaking forth. We welcome you to partake of this great blessing through the spoken word of God through His servant. Be blessed.
Thank you, worship team. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. You're welcome to the School of Christ tonight. Hallelujah. Okay. Wow. So let's see how the Lord will help us. I've just been waiting in my spirit. How will the Lord help us to go? So, but, you know, like I told us at the beginning of the year, the Lord, one of the words the Lord spoke to my heart was that we should stay on Peter like we stood on John. And I don't know if you know that we really labored on the epistles of John. A lot of laboring. I have to acknowledge that. I'm not acknowledging that because of myself. I'm only acknowledging the grace of God. It's so much laboring went into the epistle of John. So one of the words I heard was that we should labor also in the epistles of Peter. And there are just two epistles. We labored, I think there was a time I did the Gospel of John. I was teaching it and I got to, I think, maybe chapter 7 or so, 5 or 6, and I stopped. It was as if I should go back to chapter 1 again. I discovered there was so much that has not been said. So we trust God for grace as we wait on the epistles of Peter. We're still the same burden, but the Lord is going to be speaking to us profoundly. Can we all say amen? So let's open our Bibles to the second epistle of Peter. We will come to the first. Let's say the second epistle of Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1 from verse 1. Okay, 2 Peter chapter 1. Okay, let's go to 1 Peter. Let me just introduce from 1 Peter, then we'll take a jump to 2 Peter. Not like we have exhausted 1 Peter. There's still so much there, but the Lord just directed me to go to 2. So Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctification of the Spirit. Can we all say the sanctification of the Spirit? Say it one more time. Sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience. You know, there are certain words that they are deeper, like they seem to look. And at times when you approach the epistle, you need to be able to approach them also with a lot of patience for them to open up. Now, the way the apostles wrote epistles is a little bit different from what we, a normal thing that probably we may have thought of. They did not start writing epistles immediately the churches started. Can we all say amen to that? So an apostle would not just write an epistle, because they were not writing an epistle like, you know, I'm sorry to say, ministers write books today. You know, the concept of, I want to write a book. They wrote epistles. In fact, at a particular time, I thought they wrote epistles because they needed to. But now I now understand that maybe they just needed to, communicate information and all that to the churches that they planted. In watching the way the Lord led the churches, I saw that the epistles were written when heaven instructed them to write. What did I say? And they had begun ministering and laboring in the churches before they started writing. So an apostle, before he writes to a church, he will have taught those churches. Those churches were under the economy of the word of grace. They had learned of the word of grace. Many of those churches had begun to receive the mysteries of the kingdom. In fact, the way I see it, most of the churches had been given the mystery of Christ in terms of doctrine, and they had used the light of Christ to a measure before epistles of Christ were written. Can we say amen? So epistles of Christ were not written first. They were written after the light had been communicated to the churches. They had used it. They had began to walk in it. Then epistles came to further communicate light. Hallelujah. That's why when you see the way it's written, then you can understand that these churches had dealings already before the apostles started communicating doctrine to them. Praise the Lord. I'm saying that because I want you to understand the words. When you see an epistle, each word carries substance and weight. And you can't just gloss on it. You're not able to come into the blessing of what was written. So, Peter is saying elect according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father. Everybody say foreknowledge. Can we say that again? Foreknowledge of God, the Father. So, you can't be an elect except the Father has foreknew you. John, Romans 8 said something like that. It says, him who he foreknew. Can we see it? For whom he did foreknow, he also did what? Predestinate. So this is the word predestinate. Two words, predestinate. To be conformed to the image of the Son. So, the Father that has the autonomy, he has sovereign autonomy to predestinate a soul, to conformity to the image of the Son. So I like the word foreknow. Oftentimes it's always used as the sovereign autonomy of God the Father. What I mean sovereign autonomy, God is sovereign, he has the ability to foreknow. In himself, he willed that you will be conformed to the image of the Son. Can we say amen? Now, someone said that, okay, if this happens, it means I don't have a choice. No, you have a choice. God foreknow. But we are still given the opportunity to agree with God. Can we say amen? Man still has to agree with what God has foreknown. Can we say amen? I can't hear you say amen. For whom he did foreknow, he also did what? Predestinate to be conformed to the image of the Son. That he might be what? Firstborn among the brethren. Can we say amen? Go to verse 28. There's a phrase I don't want to mean. Go up a little bit. Verse 27. Are we here? Can we all say amen?
Amen?
Okay, go to verse 28. Verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good. To them that what? Love God. Look at that. To them who are what? Called. Everybody say called. According to what? To his own purpose. So I like this. Now look, then he now stepped it further in verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also what? Did predestinate to be conformed to the image of the Son. Can we say amen? I can't hear you say amen. So you can see that now take me to Ephesians 1. Let's look at Ephesians 1. Let me just strengthen that a little bit. Let me strengthen that. Ephesians 1 from verse 3. Blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has what? Blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Where? In heavenly places in Christ. According. Can we say amen? Look at it. You see according again, like you see in Romans chapter 8. According as he has what? Chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. That we should be what? Holy and what? Without blame before him. This is the same thing of being conformed to the image of the Son. Can we say amen? Having predestinated us unto the adoption of the children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. You see, this good pleasure of his will is the sovereign autonomy of the Father. He is the one that wills that a soul be conformed to the image of the Son. So, to him that he called, take me back to Romans 8, to him that he foreknown, amen. Take me to verse 30. Moreover, thank you. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, look at that, them he also what? Called. Are you following me? Whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, he also did what? Justified. Can we say amen? And whom he justified, them he also what? Glorified. So you see the whole process that makes a soul come into alignment with the predestination of God. Okay? That's what you see. Is the breakdown. You see justification. You see glorification. Can we say amen? So, take me back to Peter. So, elect according to the foreknowledge of God. So, a soul cannot be elect without the foreknowledge of God the Father, without the sovereign autonomy of God. All of us needs to fear because of this. You will not be able to even come around the corridors of the church if heaven did not foreknow you. Particularly when you have the opportunity to receive understanding concerning the journey that a soul needs to undertake to become glorified. It is not an ordinary thing. It is the activity of God's sovereign autonomy at work. Can we say amen? So elect according to what? The foreknowledge of God the Father. Through. Now, this is how is it. So, God foreknew you. But how that is manifested, or there is a process of you now coming into his election. Now, in the New Testament, election is very deep. What did I say? Election is beyond you being called to answer the call of the quickening of your spirit. Okay? Election is deeper than that. Election begins there, but election also goes further to the process God takes a soul to prepare that soul for glory. There is an election unto glory. What did I say there is? I need you to be alive tonight. What did I say there is? So at times, scripture talks about elect. But elect is beyond everyone that is born again. Okay? There is a process of making your calling and election sure. I'm going to get there. Okay? If we go further into the epistle of Peter. So that process is what certifies your election to receive glory. So, many are called, many are elect based on the legal framework of salvation. But many may not yield to the process of being elect for glory. Can we say amen? Amen. Now, take me to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 10. Okay, I'll come here. Hallelujah. Can we say amen? So the purpose of, look, I said, therefore, Paul says, therefore I endure all things for the what? Elect sake. Look at that. Elect sake. That they may also obtain what? The salvation which is in what? Christ Jesus with eternal glory. So you can see, election in this context is separation to obtain salvation. What did I say election is? Oh, you are not getting me. What did I say election is? So Paul is saying, I do all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain. So there is a process of electing a soul for glory. You need to understand that. And that process is, it will need us cooperating with the Lord to separate us for glory. So yes, I agree that I'm elect based on the fact that I'm a child of God. However, you will not be qualified to be glorified because you are just a child of God. If you're a child of God and you do not submit to the process of sanctification of the Spirit, I'll get there in a moment, you will not be qualified for glory. Can we say amen? If you don't submit to the process of being purified, you will not be qualified for glory, even though God has called you. Even though legally you are the elect of God. But functionally, you will not stand in the ground of the elect to be giving glory. God will not give glory to a soul that has not gone through the separations of the elect. So there's something called the separations of the elect. What did I say there is? Oh, you are not answering. What did I say there is? So the elect have their own separation. That's why I believe that Peter was talking about we need to make our calling and election sure. So you may have election that has not been made sure. I like that word sure. Everybody say sure. That word sure is an everlasting terminology or vocabulary. Or we can say the word sure, write that down, is a glory vocabulary or a salvation vocabulary. To make something sure is to establish it. So a calling and election will not be sure just because you got born again. Are you with me? What makes your calling and election sure is that you go through the process of being separated for being glorified. That separation is what Paul called being justified. Hallelujah. When he said in Romans chapter 8, he said, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Look at that. That's very powerful. And whom he called, them he also what? Justified. Can we say amen? So justification here, look at me, is beyond what happened to you when you got born again. To be made just is to submit to the process of separation. Now, he's talking to the soul. They are saying that it will take a justified soul to be glorified. It will take what? So, you need to see the soul to be able to understand the program of God for salvation. Saving of the soul. Most people that did not see salvation of the soul, they just say, just agree with what God has done. It doesn't work like that. Just agree. It's not agreement. They must change the soul. There is a message to transform the soul. The soul must do obedience to be changed. What did I say? Only very few people labor there, like I said, apart from the fact that we have found grace to look at deeply into the salvation of the soul. Most of the fathers of faith, they did not touch the soul. They probably just touched renewing the mind. Okay? None of them did. It was not a calling within the dispensation of the milk of the word to teach about the saving of the soul. So most ministers that moved into talking about salvation of the soul, there were ministers that moved beyond milk in doctrine. Like I said, in the 19th century, I know only two. Austin Sparks and Watchman Nee. They talked majorly about the saving of the soul. So, can we say amen? So, like I said, it is a justifying soul that will be glorified. What did I say? Say that one more time. That word justified is to make the soul just. Now, someone say, I'm a child of God. Yes, your spirit is born again or quickened. But that does not automatically mean that your soul is now a just soul. Your soul becomes just by obedience to righteousness. What did I say? So you can see, thank you. Therefore, being justified by faith. You can see that word being is a continuous process of the separation of the soul by faith. Now, in the New Testament, faith is not just believing. What did I say? It's beyond that. Faith is obedience to the will of God. You walk by faith. The faith in the New Testament is a faith you engage by obeying the commandments of God. So what Paul is saying is that you are justified by faith. We being justified by faith means that the soul is justified by obedience to the revelation of righteousness. Now, another definition for faith that I'll give you is that faith is the revelation of righteousness. You can write that down. Faith is the revelation of righteousness. Romans chapter 1 verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from what? Faith to faith. So when you are walking by faith, what are you doing? You are doing righteousness. When you are walking by faith, you are doing righteousness. Okay? Because there is a faith that a Gentile can have. But a Gentile cannot have this kind of faith. You know, there is something that Jesus classifies as faith between the world of a Gentile. So that's why faith is not faith. What did I say? Oh, you know you're in a school tonight. Do you know that? So faith is not just faith. Okay? There are classifications of faith. Faith is classified according to his righteousness. And there is not all, righteousness is not the same. So, before we receive righteousness, even at new birth, imputed righteousness in our spirit. Pastor C.G., we had our own righteousness. The one that Romans 3 said that is like a filthy rag. That is the sight of God. To man, it's not a filthy rag. And some of us, we even move our righteousness to church. You know, there's a way you feel that you are righteous. So when you even got born again, your righteousness is based on the fact that when you are even an unbeliever, you didn't smoke, you didn't drink, you didn't go to party, you are an obedient child. So there's a way you see a sister, for instance, maybe that was a prostitute that got born again. Just look at, you feel that they are not as holy as you are. Or you just feel at times some people don't qualify for some things because they have messed up their life. Because you don't understand the systems of God's righteousness. Your righteousness is based on dead works. What did I say? So righteousness that is like a filthy rag is righteousness based on dead works. Now, the righteousness of, and this is why I say it, amen. Can we say amen? Filthy rags were rags that were used for menstruation. Okay? That was the pads of those days. So they are saying that your righteousness is like a pad. Now, what do you use to a used pad? Thank you. What do you do to a pad? You trash it. That's how God sees the righteousness of man. The righteousness of man has no grounds and before God. Now, that is the righteousness of a man, of a Gentile. We also have a righteousness that is in the law. That's a higher righteousness. That's the one that made Paul. It's not easy to take that one away. That's what Paul had his own CV. That was what he was teaching us in Philippians chapter 3. Can we look at that? No. Go up a little bit. Go to verse 5. Are you enjoying this lecture? Circumcised the eighth day. This is not an ordinary soul. Of the stock of Benjamin, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, an Hebrew of Hebrews. So when you take, it's not easy to be a Benjamite. It's a pure stock. When you take Hebrews, you bring him out. Hebrew is more separated than some Hebrews. As touching the law, what? A Pharisee. Concerning zeal, look at that. Persecuting the church. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. So there's a righteousness in the law. There's a righteousness that is like a filthy rag. There's a righteousness in the law. And every righteousness has its own faith. Or every righteousness is a kind of a faith. So when Jesus said, are you with me? When Jesus said, I have seen no greater faith in Israel, referring to the centurion, that faith was still with the righteousness of the Gentile. It's not the faith that works God's righteousness in the soul. Amen. Oh, are you with me? So you need revelation to be able to separate faith from faith, righteousness from righteousness. Jesus told, he says, I've not seen so great faith. No, not in Israel. So we have righteousnesses, but it is not every righteousness that justifies the soul. It has to be the righteousness of God revealed in Christ. Can we say amen? Amen. The one, Romans chapter 1 verse 17 says, it is the righteousness that is in the gospel of Christ that can justify the soul. That begins the process of justifying a soul. And that righteousness must be preached. Now, some of us, we have our own righteousness. If you came from a church background that is holiness, you know, holiness church background, there's a righteousness there. There's a righteousness that comes by tying scarf. There's a righteousness that comes by not wearing trouser. We have righteousnesses that is not by the revelation of the righteousness in Christ. Now what I'm saying is that those righteousnesses cannot justify the soul. The soul will not be made holy or be made just. Can we say amen? You know, golden plate is different from gold plated. Come on, are you with me? Golden plate, holy soul is different from holy plated soul. Now, you cannot be made holy. Listen to this. The soul cannot be made holy except by obeying righteousness. I can tell you. Try every other thing. The soul, you are just packaging the soul. The only power that can separate the soul is the power that is in the gospel of Christ. There is something in that gospel of Christ that treats diseases of the soul, infirmities of the soul. If that is not the righteousness that you are hearing, and that is why what we hear matters a lot. If that's not the righteousness you are hearing, many people got born again, they started hearing religion. Okay? Can we say amen? So much religion. And you will find out that the soul will not be made holy. So, amen. So, faith is the revelation of righteousness. Can we all say that? Say, faith in the New Testament is the revelation of righteousness. Say, righteousness is a demonstration of power. So, what transforms the soul is a power. That power is righteousness. And when you obey righteousness, you are walking by faith. Amen. I don't know why I have to go this time, but it's very good. Amen. It's very, very essential. So, look at Romans 1, 16 to 17. Then we'll go back to Romans 5. Then we'll pick it up from there. Are we all in class? So, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Look at that. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto what? Now, today we call anything that we teach from Bible gospel of Christ. That is not what Paul is saying. So this is a definite gospel that God gave Paul to preach. This gospel is the revelation of righteousness. What did I say this gospel is? So you cannot teach this gospel if you are not separated. There's a kind of way, you know, when you see the introduction of this epistle, they have to separate you to be able to preach this gospel. Because the content of this gospel is the righteousness of God. And it is the righteousness of God that justifies a soul. I am saying this so that you understand why righteousness of God must be communicated through preaching Christ. Can we say amen? So it is the righteousness of God. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Look at verse 17. For daring, everybody say daring. I like that word daring. Inside that gospel. For daring is what? The righteousness of God revealed. Can we say amen? Amen. There is the righteousness of God revealed from what? So faith is the vehicle of righteousness. Faith is what measures righteousness done. Faith is the measurement of the move of righteousness. So anytime I'm responding in faith, I am yielding to righteousness. And righteousness must be revealed. Meaning righteousness, listen to this, is a mystery. Meaning righteousness must be preached. For the soul to obey faith, righteousness must be preached. Revelations of righteousness must be communicated to the soul. This is very important. So, what even makes a soul holy is what that soul hears. You will hear righteousness, you will do it, and your soul will be separated. If not, nothing else. What ties the soul in sin is a mystery. Amen, 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 amen. Oh, glory to God. What locks the soul up, sir, is a mystery. So the power that held the soul in bondage is a mystery. You cannot unlock it by works. So I hear some apostles recommend fasting and prayer to unlock sin in the soul. No, that looks very logical. Amen. See, let me tell you. Hallelujah. And that's why many people are not yet free from certain sins. The reason is that you have seen some people, they have really fasted, sir. But they have not been able to break sin code. Everybody say sin code. Sin is a code because sin itself is a mystery. So if sin is let me say this way. Sin itself is a perverted righteousness. Ask me, how do I know? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I said sin, what? Is a perverted what? Righteousness. Now, I want to show you a scripture. For there is a way that seemeth right. So, sin seemeth right. Now, listen. Any sin that does not seem right, if an unbeliever thinks that something is not right, it is a low sin. Sin has classification. There are sins in their different strata. Everything, and if an unbeliever agrees that this sin is a sin, Tunji, oh, the break heart, baby, eh? Oh, guilt, baby, eh? Go down now. My guy, you know, good now. Only you. You dey do tate, you dey do titi, you dey do talk where Abba, settle down. In the club, they are drinking beer. Settle down. You see, amen. You see that thing? It's not really the sin. Because if an unbeliever can discern it, it's not really sin. You need revelation to sight sin. Sin is a life. And is hidden. So much of what we deal with are the works of the flesh. They are the offerings of sin. They are, you know, they are the children of sin. So we deal with the children of sin. Sin is a body. It's an entity of life. So, amen. Can we say amen? So, when you get born again, the laws or the mystery of sin does not stop. It's still at work. But they cannot access you without the new birth. The new birth is the beginning of solving the problem of sin. Let me say that again. Now you're shocking some people. Amen. What I say the new birth is? To get to fix the problem, God has to first raise your dead spirit. That's just the beginning. Now, to demystify the app running. How many of you know that there are times, you know, some terrible apps that are running on the background? Have you ever seen some apps? Many apps are running. You don't even know some of them. You will need some kind of skilled professional to begin to locate the apps that are running on your hardware. So sin is an app running on where? Our hardware. And there are many, there are different apps of sin. Some you can easily see them. Some are more hidden. You need skill to see it. So now, when you begin to preach righteousness, you are going after the apps of sin. What did I say, sir? So righteousness revealed is how you demystify sin. That's how you deal with sin. So, without the revelation of righteousness, a soul will not be separated unto God. That soul can be in church. That soul can be involved in church activity. That soul can be doing evangelism and is doing well. That soul can be preaching and is doing well. But the soul will not be free from the law of sin and death. And meanwhile, amen. Can we say amen? Remember that Paul says that I suffer all these things that the elect may obtain salvation. So the whole reason why you got raised from the dead, or let me put it this way. The whole reason why Jesus came was to what? Destroy the works of the devil. Those works are the mysteries of sin. Jesus came to destroy it so that man can enter into glory. That's all. So if we have not accessed the wisdom to break into the world of God's glory, it means we are still limited by the mystery of sin and death. Can we say amen? And that's why righteousness must be preached. Are you with me? Oh, are you sure you are with me? Can we say amen? So look at that. So righteousness is preached from what? Revealed from what? Faith to faith. Take me to Romans 5. So, therefore, being justified by faith. Look at that. Being justified. So it's a present continuous thing. So the soul is made just by righteousness. So, Pastor CG, so they cannot glorify a soul that is not justified. So justification is the continuous process of separating a soul unto glory. And I found out that justification even continues in the everlasting kingdom. There's everlasting righteousness. There's a higher measure of righteousness in the everlasting kingdom. What did I say? So that means that they keep justifying the soul until the soul can attain all glory. All the glory that is in God, that is in stored up in Jesus Christ for the church to come into as an inheritance. I'm going back to Peter. I did all this to give you an understanding how the apostles approached the epistles. So therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Peace here is not a fruit of the Spirit. Peace here is a dominion in God. What did I say? There's a peace that is a fruit of the Spirit, but there's a peace that is life or a dominion as a result of nature formation. when I go in this series, I'll show you how nature is formed. So, peace, yeah, is a nature. You know, I taught this before, that we have peace. Peace based on the fact that, okay, we got born again and we have peace. Yes, truth is progressive. Thank you. What did I say? Peace that you have is beyond, I got born again. I'm now the child of God, so I have peace. Thank God for that level. But the kingdom of God is what? Not meat and drink. The kingdom of God is what? Righteousness. Righteousness is a dominion. It means that I can have righteousness as a nature. What did I say I can have? That is what some Christians don't know. And I know because they have read a lot of new creation realities. Now, I respect the fathers that wrote those works, but dispensation of light determines what a minister can minister at that time. So, imputed righteousness is different from right doing. Or let me say this. Right standing is different from right doing. There are two things. Right standing is what you call imputed righteousness. You can write that down if you are just hearing for the first time. What did I say right standing is? Imputed righteousness is one that you have by believing in Jesus. Your spirit is made righteous. It's called imputed. It's imputed in your spirit by faith. Very vital. Very fundamental. It is the beginning of the legal framework of salvation. Can we all say amen? But right standing without right doing equals no glory. Right standing without right doing, you can't have glory. You will not inherit. You cannot come into inheriting the incorruptible inheritance. So right standing is good. Right standing is that they gave you credit. How will I put it? It's a very good starter because your spirit was dead. And there's nothing they can do to man except they waken that dead spirit. And that was on the basis of the righteousness that Jesus earned on our behalf from God the Father. Can we say amen?
Amen?
So, but progressively, the soul must be framed according to righteousness. What did I say the soul must? The soul must be made righteous also so that we cannot come into the promise of God. So an unjustified soul cannot inherit the promise of God. Until they make that soul justified, that soul will not be glorified. So glory is the promise of the gospel. Write that down. What you call eternal life is actually eternal glory. Glory is the promise of the gospel. No soul that is not being justified will end up being glorified. Can we say amen? Going to heaven is not equal to glory. Okay? I know some of us, that's what we know, but that's not complete gospel. Okay? Hallelujah. Can we say amen? The gospel is for you to be conforming to the image of the Son. That is the promise of the gospel. And Jesus Christ inherited the promise of God. So, before Jesus left the earth, he came into all the promises of God. What did I say Jesus came into? You know, we have promise of life. We have the promise of what? Everlasting life, and we have the promise of eternal life. Eternal life is the promise of the gospel, that is the promise of promises. There are promises, like 2 Corinthians said, the promises of God in him are yea and amen. There are promises of the promise. The ultimate promise is for man to partake in eternal glory. What did I say? But there are promises there. For instance, you can't come into that promise without coming into the promise of peace. Peace is a promise. That's why Paul said we have peace. It's a promise. When a soul inherits the dominion of peace, it is a good signal to God that you can take the promise of glory. Oh, amen. It's a good signal to God. So God wants you to take peace first before you take salvation. You know, salvation is a promise. Peace is also a promise. So when he says we have peace, it means that I come into the promise of peace by obeying righteousness that is in Christ. Hallelujah. So we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I know that this thing is beyond new birth. It's at the preceding verses. You know, and it's good. We need to check truth. And I criticize myself. I do that. I check it again. I criticize myself. I'm a very funny person when it comes to approaching scripture. So it says, by whom we also what? Have access what? By faith into this grace wherein we stand. Can we say amen? I like the word stand. Peace. You stand in peace. It's a dominion. It's you occupy a dominion of the kingdom. Like I've taught you before, it is the sanctuary that is the court of peace. Amen. What did I say? Okay, if you're hearing me for the first time, no one, just keep hearing me, okay? It's not easy to come 1 month and you easily understand me. You just keep coming. You need to do 6 months. Then you'll start flowing, okay? So, peace is the dominion of the sanctuary. Now, the dominion of the sanctuary is two, is life and peace. Outer court is the dominion of life. Holy place is a dominion of peace. Write it down. Most holy is the dominion of joy. So the kingdom of God is what? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. They are all dominions and they are typified or measured by the tabernacle. So the tabernacle is a revelation of the righteousness of God. Oh, did you get that? Let me say that again. The tabernacle is the revelation of the full righteousness of God. So, each court is a righteousness on its own. So, the court, the outer court is a righteousness of life. The holy place is a righteousness of peace. The most holy is a righteousness of joy. And all that is what Paul calls the kingdom of God. So the kingdom of God is a progressive revelation of righteousness. Let me say that again. Amen. The kingdom of God is what? The progressive revelation of the righteousness of God. So how do you enter into the kingdom? How do you enter into the kingdom? By obeying righteousness. So as you obey righteousness, you enter. As you obey righteousness, you enter. As you obey righteousness, you enter. Until you finish all the righteousness. So it's possible for a soul in a lifetime to complete the syllabus of righteousness. That is what Daniel is writing in Daniel chapter 9, verse 23 to 24. There's a time that it's possible that you can finish your righteousness curriculum. And you'll be sealed. And that is the ultimate of the gospel. For a soul to be the temple of God. Amen. What did I say is the ultimate of the gospel? Or the tabernacle of God. So you can see. So it is that righteousness that builds you up. As you are being righteous, they are raising your soul stature. And ultimately so that God can dwell. Okay? Are we all here? So let's now go back to Peter. We are just laying the blocks gradually again. So, elect according to the foreknowledge of the Father through the sanctification of the Spirit. Now that's what I've been explaining. The sanctification of the Spirit is the justification of the soul. So this sanctification of the Spirit is not new birth. You cannot approach it and say, I'm sanctified. It's not talking about, look at it, it's not sanctification of the Spirit. It's big S. He's not talking about the sanctification of your human spirit. He's talking about the sanctification of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, sanctification of the Holy Spirit here, is the sanctification by the revelation of Christ. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, it says, Christ has been made unto us. Let's go there. Can we say amen? Christ has been made unto us. Everybody say Christ. Say it again. Say Christ has been what? Made unto us wisdom. Look at that. Has been unto us wisdom. So there is, Christ is the framework of wisdom. What did I say Christ is? He has been made unto us wisdom and what? Righteousness and sanctification. And redemption. So, Christ is a sanctification being. Meaning when you are learning Christ, what is happening to you? You are being sanctified. That's how you make somebody holy. Not by rules and regulation. Brother, sit here. Sister, sit there. Is a lie. When they leave church, they will sit together. You don't help souls like that. Now, I'm not condemning it outrightly. You know? You want to go and... I'm not condemning it outrightly. Because... Amen. But that is not where the solution is. So when Brother Thaddeus was going to greet Sister Paulina, their chair will be 3 meters apart. There has to be social distance. Holiness gap. You know what I'm talking about? And they talk around Bible. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. The only thing that can, you see, that's why Christ must be taught. What did I say? Christ must be taught. If you don't teach Christ, you cannot free the soul. The soul will still be on the prison of sin. Hallelujah. Can we say amen? Oh, you're not answering me saying amen. I'm not saying you should not start entering into sister's house. Because Pastor said that social distance does not make us holy. If we catch you in a sister's hostel, you will do frog jump. It's wisdom. I'm only saying that's not how they save the soul. So sanctification of the spirit there is the process of revealing Christ to a soul. What did I say sanctification of the spirit is? So it is as you reveal Christ to a soul, that the Holy Ghost can sanctify that soul. So true sanctification is by revelation of Christ. It is important that if Christ is not preached, the soul cannot really, really be separated from the law of sin. Can we say amen? Amen? Now, I need to say this, that there is a preliminary separation, listen to this, in the milk of the word, no doubt about it. There is a preliminary sanctification in the milk of the word. Now, as powerful as the milk of the word is, the issue with milk is that the milk does not really tamper with sin structure in the soul. What did I say milk does not really do? It does a measure of cleansing, a measure. But it does not really tamper with structures of sin. When they say something is a structure of sin, foundation of sin. To undo the foundation of sin, you need a potent righteousness. You need a stronger reagent. Because, amen. Now, the milk of the world can deal with demonic oppression, for instance. Meaning that, you know, you have authority to deal with demons. And you can deal with things that demons inflict. You know, there are things that the demon can put on the soul. Milk of the word will handle it. But milk of the word does not really, really tamper with what? Carnality. When I say somebody has a carnal judgment, he has a sight that is carnal. So even though the guy is oppressing demons, he's a demon caster. He is healing the sick. He's casting out demons. But his judgment is still carnal. Now, what is responsible for carnality? Sin. So a carnal man may not be fornicating. He may not be drinking beer or smoking or going to the party. But he is still what? Carnal. So carnality is sin. What did I say carnality is? I don't deal with carnality because carnality is more of a state. It's not what you do. It's who you are. So to handle carnal nature, you need righteousness that is more potent. You need a more potent righteousness beyond the level of righteousness in the milk of the word. You need to now make progress a little bit into the revelation of Christ. So it takes revelation of Christ for sanctification of the spirit to occur. Are you with me? Amen. It's as if we're just going to start all over again. Okay, Egan said we preach one message 19 times before people get it. So it's good that we go back. So look at that. Look at sanctification of the Spirit. So elect according to the foreknowledge of the Father through the sanctification of the Spirit. Look at that. Unto obedience. Everybody say obedience. So this is the most interesting thing. It means you can't come into this obedience without being sanctified. So what do you now think this obedience is? Because you need to be separated to obey. They are saying this obedience, if you are not separated, you cannot even see it. So you are being sanctified by Christ to obey God. Let me say that one more time. That's just simplifying it. You are being sanctified by Christ, by the revelation of Christ to obey God or to obey the Father. The Father's obedience is impossible without the sanctification of the Spirit. So Christ must be revealed to you. What did I say? Everybody say Christ. That's what Paul calls power. You need power to be able to do this kind of obedience. And that is why we are going to Peter. You see, the epistle of Peter is establishing the soul in the obedience of the Father. It is called glory. So coming into glory, you will need to be sanctified. You need to be sanctified to be brought into the world of glory. Hallelujah. Oh, you are not excited. Can we say amen? You see, these are things that you must do on earth. If you don't do on earth, in the world to come, you will still do it. And there will not be a reward for it. When you have used your soul to pack falling glories here, there's no reward for it. It's the truth. So look at that. So unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood. So you can see two things in the world of glory is the obedience and sprinkling of the blood. Now we can say two things there. Amen. Is the water and the blood. This is the water in the everlasting kingdom. And the blood. This is the cup and the bread. That the Father gives. So there's an obedience of the Father. And there's a sprinkling of the blood. In that world of God. That will eventually qualify a soul for glory. So, there are two things that a soul needs to be glorified. What did I say? You are not talking to me? Obedience and sprinkling of the blood. Two things. Obedience and the sprinkling of the blood. So, this is what the epistle of Peter is. The epistle of Peter is a twin of the epistles of John. They are the same thing. The Lord just wanted us to see the other side. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. So, I just giving you an explanation. So, you see, That's what the epistle is all about, to show you what the obedience is.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Eh? And what is the content of the blood? Because you need these two to make a soul partake of divine nature. It's the same thing that 2 Peter said. Obedience and the sprinkling of the blood is the same thing as exceeding great and precious promises. There are substances of the high priest for our cleansing. What did I say they are? They are the light, they are the gift of light and perfection. They are the things that the Father uses to sanctify a soul that will partake of his nature. Can we say amen? Now let's read a little bit. Before I come back here, I'm going to take a jump to 2 Peter in a bit. Let's go back to 1 Peter. Can we say amen? Oh, I'm not sure you're excited. Hallelujah. Amen. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Now verse 3, quickly. Blessed be God. And Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to what is abundant mercy. Amen. When you see according into scripture, the way the Lord taught me, he said according in most times is a doctrine. It's an understanding. Of course, you know, you will look at it and say, according to abundant mercy. He's having abundant mercy. No. You know how abundant mercy comes to you? Eh? By understanding. So, abundant mercy is a product of abundant light. When they are giving you light, what are they giving you? Mercy. Mercy is the currency of God to save a soul. Mercy is the currency of God to save a soul. Mercy is the currency you use to measure the riches of God. I've taught you that before. Eh? But God, who is rich in mercy? For the great love, when he has loved us. So abundant mercy is the revelation of mercy. And the revelation of mercy is by granting you what? Entrance into God's world. So if you don't have mercy, you can't come. Mercy is what summons you. Grace is what brings you. So mercy will call you, then grace will make you come. You come by grace. But mercy is the one that summons you. Let's come boldly to the throne of grace. It's the throne of grace, but it's a mercy seat. So that throne of grace is the whole apparatus of God's throne. But where God sits, gone, is called mercy seat. And that is what that's what originates the call. God is the one that initiates the calling. You can't journey to God if God does not call you. Can we say amen? So it is when you obtain mercy that you can find grace. So that mercy there is understanding of the nature of God's life. What did I say mercy is? Mercy is the riches of God brought to you. So when God, I know you have, you know mercy as amen. Undeserved something. I don't know what to call it. No, that's grace. Undeserved judgments. Eh? You know, that's not, sorry to say, that's not school understanding. It's not complete. You know, there are some definition they gave you in school. You change it when you add more light. Am I right? They gave you some definition in primary school. By the time you go to university, they changed the definition. You could only understand that's the only way they can tell you that. I'm not saying undeserved judgment is not true. It doesn't capture the whole revelation of mercy. Can we say amen? I can't hear you say amen. Everything that has to do with God saving man is mercy. It's the reaching of mercy. It is mercy that made God send a son to us. It's mercy that makes God send understanding to man. That's mercy. Mercy is the giving of light. You say, mercy, when you say you found Anu, is to Hey, Yamano Kasia Tabania. He's for God to show you his face. That's the real mercy. Oh. So, amen. That's beyond undeserved judgment. So, according to his abundant mercy, he has begotten us again. Unto what? A lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Let me rush. Unto an inheritance. So it is mercy that brings what? The revelation of the inheritance. That's what he said. It is when there is abundant mercy that the soul can understand the call to partake of God's inheritance. Hallelujah. To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away. Without abundant mercy, the soul cannot undo this inheritance. Hallelujah. Reserved in heaven for you. So, now let's now take, I want you to have this in mind. Let's go to 2 Peter. Because there's no way I have to begin from here. So, another word for for divine nature, what 2 Peter, please take me to the first verse. What 2 Peter calls divine nature is what 1 Peter calls the inheritance that is incorruptible, undefiled, and what? Unfading. Can we say amen?
Amen.
I can't hear you say amen.
Amen.
So this is the promise of God to man. Now I know that many don't see this as promise. How I know is that how you react when you don't have other things. Now, amen. You see, when God does not give you some things, you tell God that it's not good. Because you see those things as your promise. So when you don't have them, you have a right of entitlement to tell God that, see God, you are not doing me well. If an unbeliever can have this, me that I am your child. It's just like the way God, in Genesis chapter 15, Abraham, a big man of, you know, is a big man of God. A big man of God. He just defeated nations in a war with 318 men. So much breakthrough. Before then, he was rich in livestock. Rich in all kinds of stuff. But he had one, but he had no child. So God appeared to him in a vision and gave him promises. He says, fear not, Abraham. I am thy shield. And what? Exceeding great reward. You don't understand what I'm saying? The first thing Abraham will say is, look at that. So this is our reaction. Anytime God comes with an understanding that seem not to answer to your immediate need, you tell God that, I understand, but this is the one I want now. And Abraham said, Lord God, share a woman, Rani. Amen. What will thou give me? No, but God was giving him things. God said, I am your shield. Is that not a gift? I am your exceedingly what? Great reward. I think that should be enough. But you can see. Now the reason why that is not enough is that we have covenant with something else. We have an agreement with a life. The covenant that we have with sin and death has its own promises. It promises us something here that we all feel entitled to. Even as children of God. We even tell God that a Gentile has it. I am your child, I'm serving you, and I don't have a child. Look at Shakira. Look at people. Look at what they're not even doing. They don't know you and they're giving birth. What are you doing about my case? Amen. Some of you are doing as if you don't talk like that to God. So you can see. It's not easy to separate a soul to glory. To separate a soul to glory, that soul must be at peace with God. So when they say a soul is at peace with God, the soul does not complain. It's at peace with God, meaning it can agree with God's dealing. It does not wrestle with God anymore. He has resolved himself in the will of God. That soul is at rest in God's path. Can we say amen? I can't hear you say amen. This is hard talk, I know. Now, so a soul that has come to peace can resolve that. If it's to your glory that I stay single, so be it. That's a peace soul. And the soul will rest. There's no more contention concerning that area. The same thing with every other thing. If it's in your will. The issue with a soul that is ready to receive the training of glory is that the soul has resolved issues that has to do with agreement with things that are fallen. The soul is being relinquished from ties that ties it to the earth. Can we say amen? You are not following me. Can we say amen? This is very important. If you are going to appreciate Second Epistle of Peter, because Second Epistle of Peter was written to those that have obtained like precious faith. What did I say? So they are not written to anybody. First Epistle of Peter is still preparation. You still have areas where they are telling you that you should quickly obtain the like precious faith. So there is still room. But in 2 Peter, you see, that's why they write in a progressive manner. So if an apostle writes you a second letter, it means it's a progression. Oh, you're not answering me. What did I say? It's a progression. The second epistle of Peter is a progression, is a build up on the first epistle. So I like the way he wrote this second epistle. It's almost as if the identity of the church is that they have obtained like precious faith. If you are in this church and you have not obtained it, you are lost. Meaning, as at the time he wrote this epistle, listen to this. Because some of us, we think we have all the time. There's a way we think, I have all the time. You don't have all the time. There are seasons of your journey. A time will come where they expect that you should have resolved some things concerning your walk with God. So, Peter was relating with this church as a church that has resolved the issue of the inheritance of faith that is in Christ. I've said that Christ is the first inheritance of the soul. What did I say Christ is? So Simon Peter is servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. To them that have what? Obtained. Not willed. To them that have obtained like precious faith with us. Through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. So it is righteousness that you obey that causes you to obtain like precious faith. Can we say amen? Amen. Like precious faith, a word we can relate to it is also, we can call it charity. That's a charity soul. Charity is precious faith. Faith that has become precious. Or faith that has become, that's a finer faith. A soul that is in charity has come into a finer expression of faith. So to them that has what? Obtained like precious faith through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace, what? Be multiplied unto you through what? The knowledge of God and what? And of Jesus our Lord. According, look at it again. So you can see this. Go and check everywhere in scripture when you see according. According. According to what is divine power. Can we say divine power? So for you to obtain like precious faith, it means that you are already submitting to divine power. Let me say that again. Amen. For you to have obtained lying precious faith, it means you're already submitting to the program of divine power. So divine power in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 is the same thing as the gospel of Christ in Romans chapter 1 verse 16. So Paul calls the gospel of Christ as the power of God unto salvation. Peter says, according as his divine power, at giving us, not will give us. So it means that this is a settled thing. A church that has obtained like precious faith, already what? Has submitted to the program of divine power. Hallelujah. I like the word divine power. It is power to become divine. So you need power to come into nature. What did I say? Come on, say that one more time. According to his divine power. So power, when you say power, it's not what we see as, think as power. Power here is the revelation of righteousness. Power here is the revelation of righteousness in Christ. So I am receiving divine energy and power to the degree I am in obedience to the revelation of righteousness in Christ. Can we say amen? Amen. So according to his divine power, had given unto us all things he has given us. So power gives you things. And this power is a gospel that has wrought things in them. He said he has given us all things pertaining to what? Life and godliness. Can we say life? Say godliness. So those are things of the kingdom. Godliness, there is peace. So you need power of Christ to give you life and peace. So it means the purpose of power is to give you covenant. What is a covenant? It's an agreement between two persons. So it means without covenant, you cannot obtain like precious faith. Follow me. What did I say? When you say you have obtained something, it means it's yours. It is an inheritance. And there are no inheritances without covenants. You must cut covenants with God for his inheritance to become yours. Now, let me tell you this. God, anything God gives you and there is no covenant, it is not an inheritance. It is not an inheritance. The only thing that inheritance is are things that are of God. So we have things from God and we have things of God. If it is of God, you must cut covenant with God. And what cuts covenant is obedience. You must obey God for covenant to be cut. So things of life and godliness are things of life and peace. It is an inheritance in the kingdom. When he says somebody has life and godliness, it means the soul has inherited, he has inherited the blessing of the new man called Christ. The soul has partaken into the frame of that being called Christ. That formation called Christ has become part of your life. So it says, this church has already obtained, look at that. This church has things pertaining to life and peace. They have it, meaning that the gospel that should give it to them has been communicated to them and they have used it. So it says, according to his divine power, he has given us all things that pertain to life and peace. Or life and godliness. That godliness is peace. So a godly man is a man of peace. What did I say a godly man is? Actually, peace. Godliness. Everybody say godliness. Peace, there is the beginning of godliness. There are deeper measures of godliness in the kingdom of God. But a man that has attained peace in Christ has begun the journey of godliness. So that man is a godly man, meaning that he can do all the commandments of God. That's why they say godliness. 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 Eh? Godlikeness. He can submit to God. Now, it's not every soul that can submit to God. What did I say? Romans chapter 8. Okay? I think God wants us to take it this way. Can we say amen? Let's start from verse 1. Therefore, being what? Therefore. There is therefore no condemnation to them that are in what? Christ Jesus. Comma. Who walk not after the flesh. So you can be in Christ and you walk after the flesh. It means you have not journeyed out of the world of condemnation. To journey out of the grounds of condemnation, you need not to remain in the flesh. Can we say amen? You need to break allegiance with the flesh. Now, everybody say flesh. Flesh is the program of corruption that is in your soul. Flesh is in us by covenant. So what divorces the flesh is a stronger covenant. So you don't pray flesh away. That's why you don't see New Testament apostles one prayer found you. Like labor. I'm not saying don't pray. New Testament apostles say pray without ceasing. So, but I'm telling you that, you know, you can give people labor that does not do anything to them. It's just something coming from the mind. Because you don't have solution. Eh? Flesh can do any activity in church. So you don't break flesh by activity. You break flesh. Everybody say flesh. You need to reveal righteousness by revelation of Christ to make flesh naked. You see, let me tell you, to deal with flesh, you have to expose it. At times, what can deal with a flesh is a simple commandment. But to flesh is hard. Now, you know that flesh is customized to every soul. What did I say? So what can deliver you from your own flesh? Maybe just a simple commandment. But to you is very hard. You know, we like our own righteousness. We like our own righteousness. Maybe God gives you a commandment. Anytime we wake up in the morning, do certain things, household chores. You know, we don't see righteousness in sweeping. We don't see righteousness in cooking. We don't see righteousness in serving our brethren. That you take it upon yourself to cook for the brethren. And it's an instruction of the Spirit. You see, if God gives you an instruction, it's spiritual. That instruction is what will save you. So now, instead of doing what God told you, cook for the brethren throughout the month of July. You know what you will do? You will be praying and reading the Bible. And everybody looking at you say, this brother is going through a revival. Now look at me. Look at me. Your flesh is praying. You see that your flesh can survive your prayer. It will not die because it's not according to righteousness. Your flesh will prefer to fast. But it will not do what it was instructed it to do to deliver it. So at times, that's why there is no formula to save the flesh. What saves the flesh is revelation of righteousness. What I say saves the flesh? Saves you from your flesh or delivers you from flesh. So flesh there is the carnal nature. And the carnal nature is in you by covenant. You don't break away from it except you obey another law. Because you see, you don't covenants, are the product of laws. Covenants are the product of laws. You don't engage a covenant without a law. Neither do you disengage a covenant without a law. So flesh stays in us by a law. It's like the law of gravity. No matter what you say, if you jump from an height, you are coming down. Have you ever noticed is that you say, I will not get angry. I will not get angry. In the name of Jesus, I will not get angry. You will get angry. Because what is responsible for anger is a law. Now, I'm not playing down confessing the word. The best confessing the word can make you do is just to be aware that there's something that God needs to reveal to you. But you see, God must reveal things to you to save you from a particular hold. Can we say amen? So that's what Paul is saying. He says, we walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. To walk after the Spirit is to obey the law of righteousness in Christ. To walk after the Spirit is to obey the law of righteousness in Christ. It is to obey the revelation of righteousness in Christ. That is how you are walking after the Spirit. So, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. So, sin and death are in the soul by the formation of a law. It is a law that did the work. Everybody say law. Oh, I'm not getting your response. Everybody say law. By when I say law, I mean a government. So sin is governmental. Sin is a fallen throne. It's tronic. It's a throne. So it's a throne that is enforcing his reign on the soul. And that's why you can hate something or you still do it. How many of you have hated things? You even cried. And then after a while, just a while, what you just had was just a short reviver. Maybe max 1 month. Some of you, some of the conversations you made during June, like Family Life Summit, you have forgotten. Family Life Summit has gone. You cried and you made some. This is what I will do. Now it's not up to 2 months. So. I'm just showing you how the soul is. I'm trusting the Lord that will come into true change. This is the way. There's no other way. Uh-huh. It change comes through the hearing of faith. Write that down. So when you have not changed, don't give up. Keep hearing. And keep doing. For faith cometh by. And hearing by. So anytime you don't do it, means you have not heard enough. The only time there's not a place where you have heard enough and you are not doing. Because at that point, it's not yet sin. Let me explain this to you. Some of you don't know this. To him that knows what to do and doing it not, to him is sin. That means they have given you sufficient revelation to stop that thing. If you continue beyond that, to you, it may not be the sin of your brother. To you, it is what? Sin. Because now, the grace to break covenant with that nature has been given to you. You have had so much, the word has come, and you have faith for it. But you are not willing to let go of your life. That's another thing entirely. Eh? So, but to break allegiance with nature, you need to keep hearing. Huh? Nature gets demystified in an environment of faith. I don't want you to, I'm saying it's this brethren life is hard. No, if you think like that, you will not walk in it. You need to believe that brethren life is possible. Shall you understand what I'm talking about? Don't allow the enemy to defeat you at that level. If Satan defeats you at that level, you will not be able to, you will get stuck. That's why you have to keep hearing faith. Faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So we walk not after the flesh. Some people, they have more fears about brethren life. So they will not be able to take faith. They don't know that there's salvation inside. They are looking at the challenges attached to it. I don't want any wala. I don't want any wala. Jejeli Moduro. You will find out that you will not partake of the blessing that is in brethren life. The blessing that they pack there. And the life of the brethren is a major landmark in kingdom. I will show you in 2 Peter, amen. You can't break into God without going through that. Uh-huh. So you have to resolve. The soul has to resolve and agree. It's a debt that you must go through. Can we say amen? But you have to first have faith that is the word of God and is the standard of God. So when you fear something, you need to hear it more. What did I say? Some people fear grips their hearts when they hear brethren. You know, it's more convenient to keep your space. Because when you keep your space, it's predictable. When you keep your space, you are the one. You are the Alpha and Omega of your space. You are the beginning and the ending. You are Alpha, you are Omega. Beginning light, ending light. Can I little belu reo? It's not eternity that's living. Flesh belu esa. And if you don't like brother like me, to what? Abide forevermore. It means you will go to the world to come with your flesh. You will go to the world to come with your flesh. And at that time, you have no choice. They will see heal you of it. Kuku gba folon se. Gba folon sa. Eh? Because they will see heal that soul. Can we say amen? So take me back to Romans 5. So look at that. Hallelujah. Oh, you are not saying amen.
Amen.
Romans 5, please. Romans 8, rather. So, I want to get to a point. Uh-huh. Take me to verse 4, because of time. Let's run through it. Then we'll come back to Peter. So that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh. You see, Paul keeps emphasizing not walking after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So, you don't experience liberty until you walk after the Spirit. Uh-huh. And that liberty is by obeying the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That law is the law of righteousness in Christ. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is the law of righteousness in Christ. So you have to walk after the Spirit. Very important. Every soul here must be committed to walking after the Spirit to experience true freedom. Now look at verse 5. I'm going somewhere. For they that are after the flesh, look at that. To be after the flesh is to submit to the law of sin and death. To submit to it is that you have not received mercy to obey the law of Christ that will deliver you from this law. Naturally, this law is at work in us. Naturally, the law of flesh is at work in you. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. So it means that the law of the flesh governs your mind. It will keep governing your mind if you do not begin to yield to the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So they that are after the flesh do mind things of the flesh, meaning that they set their affection on things below. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If you be risen from the dead, if then ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ seated on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Somebody that is carnal has nothing he can do about it. His affection will be here. Because it is a law that is at work. The law is what sets his affection. What did I say? He is under the rule of Mr. Flesh. When you are under the rule of Mr. Flesh, your opinion does not count. You will still be in subjection to the flesh. It's just like gravity. Gravity is a pull. You know that gravity is a law, yeah? Everything that goes upwards. So when you jump, you are coming down, sir. But gravity is not a pull outside the earth. When you enter into space, when you go up, you keep going up. So, So you can see, the pull of gravity is in the earth. When you leave this zone, that law stops. So as long as you are in the flesh, the law of sin and death is at work. Let me say that again. You didn't get that. It is dangerous to live in the flesh. It is very dangerous. You see, you cannot even use the infirmities of your brethren to be in the flesh. It is also still very dangerous. So the reason why I'm doing this is because of the way my brethren are doing. Sir, Satan is using your brethren to set you up. Satan does not care. He can use anybody, including a weak brethren that is still in the flesh. He will keep using that brethren until you break away from the law that ties you here. If not, all of you will remain in the flesh. All of you will remain in the flesh. So when somebody is yielding to the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, you need to find grace to keep obeying. Can we say amen? I can't hear you say amen. You know, at times you feel that some people take advantage of you because of brethren life. And then you are forbearing the person. Then all of a sudden, you think that forbearing the person will make the person change. I mean, this happens in marriage. Maybe you are forbearing your husband and you feel that your husband is not taking advantage of you. Then one day you now get angry. I'm not doing it again. You think I'm a fool? The issue is that you need to keep remaining a fool to make progress into God. You see, that you think I'm a fool means that you have resolved that you don't want to continue that journey. You abort the process. And for many of us, that's what we do. We keep aborting the process. We make 5 steps forward. Then we make 7 steps backward. Then we start again. So, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So, when you are, listen to this. Are you with me? When you are submitting to the law of Christ, you are submitting your heart. You are after the things of the Spirit. After the things of the Spirit is deeper than coming to meetings. It includes it. It's deeper than praying daily. It includes it. It's deeper than reading your Bible. It includes it. It is much more in yielding to the law of Christ. Can we say amen? Because you can do all that and still not yield to law. Somebody can be coming to a meeting because of the joy after the meeting. So when you think of meeting, you don't see the message. You see the joy after the meeting. What was the joy after the meeting? I'm saying. At times, you cannot believe it. A soul can stay in a church because of fasting. The person is not following no message. You are just in church because of fasting. You love fasting more than doctrine. So you can stay around. But you know, the thing is that you cannot, that thing cannot last you forever. It's dangerous to stay in church because of fasting, because you'll be offended. And what will keep you after being offended is doctrine. The same brethren that you are fasting, I'm not long my share, sir. They are the one. And it's not because of them. Even them, they don't even know why. Even them, they have spirits that are also using them. And I say, what are you saying? I'm a child of God. Can spirit use me? Yes. That's why it's not safe to remain in the flesh. As long as you're in the flesh, only yellow. What did I say? When you're in the flesh, they can easily what? Use you. Just like Peter, 1 minute he was giving revelation. Powerful revelation. I mean, you couldn't have gotten that revelation without the help of God. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus clapped for him. Blessed are thou, Simon Barjona. Surely flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. I'm sure Peter will be feeling high. I miss the brethren. You know, there will be this sense of coolness. Hallelujah. We are the elders of this fellowship. Amen. You know, at times when you feel cool about yourself, it's good for God to uncool you. So you don't rate yourself beyond measure. You know, some of us, we are always, when you are easily irritated by people's sin, when somebody does something, you how can they do that kind of thing? Your own they come. And at times, some of us feel that, you see, a legalistic mind feels that because somebody has some things, he doesn't qualify for some things. He doesn't know that the ways of God are different. You don't even know the person's heart. You don't know the person's heart. You need wisdom to judge your soul. You need wisdom to judge your soul. Me, I used to feel that people that are always intact, they are the ones that may have a problem. Like, we never smell your mess before, sir. Hello, hello. Hello. Hi, hello. So it's like this person is always our age all the time. Amen. Let's have that, please.
Thank you. Mahashte, thank you, Lord Jesus. Mohonuma Zavarate, thank you, Lord Jesus. The parts. It's a part. It's a part that unveils. It's a part that reveals. It's a part that unveils. It's a part that reveals. Oh, when you're on this part, it's made known. It's made known. It made known. It reveals. It reveals the work that Satan has done. It brings it to light. It brings it to light. It is a light in Christ. It make manifest. It make manifest. It make manifest. A sign that you are yielding to that part is that you become meek by your own weakness.
Yeah.
You will see
Thank
your
you.
Weakness.
Yeah.
How you will see your weakness. Mm. It will make it known for you to acknowledge it, for you to agree,
yes.
For it to be taken, for it to be taken. For you, there's no way you'll be on the part and you will so much have boldness to attack people's weakness because you will see your own. You will see your own. It will give you a kind of heart that even though you want to correct, you will do it in meekness.
Yeah.
You will do it in meekness. It is a path that will show you your own nature. It is a path that will show you your own way. It is a path that will show you where you stand. It's a path that reveals. It's a path that reveals. It's a path that reveals. And when you see that, now you see that. It doesn't mean that you are going down. It doesn't mean that you are going down. It is a work ongoing. When you see weakness, respond to God. Respond. Respond to the light because the work is ongoing. The work is ongoing. The presence of weakness does not mean that you are not progressing. It's the beginning of progression. See here the Lord.
We need to learn to be merciful.
Yes, sir.
And you will not be merciful if I don't show you your whole. You must be able to tolerate the infirmities of people. What did I say? Yes, you must be able to, and you should not, it's not a big deal.
Yes, sir.
You may be able to tolerate the infirmities of people because Even if you don't do some things anymore, it's because you found mercy.
Yes, sir.
Not because you could do anything. Found mercy. You know, some ministers are quick to go and judge another minister without knowing the path of that minister. Our paths are not the same. So maybe you see a minister that fell into sin. In your mind, that minister is finished. There was a minister that I heard, I think maybe it was Final Quest that was saying it, that Jesus loved that minister, even when that minister made a mistake. Jesus loved the minister. You know, there are certain ways that man can read something.
Yeah.
But they don't have judgment. They don't know the way God is seeing it. So it's not always good to just open up your mouth and just strike people. Because you don't know, you don't have an understanding of what they are going through. And the way God judges is not like us.
Yes, sir.
I will say amen.
Amen.
I just want you to understand these are ways in breaking into certain operations of God. So, Peter, in 1 second, I don't know the distance between when he gave that revelation, but it was in the same chapter. In the next moment, Satan flowed through him. God flowed through him. You know, the thing is very funny at times that as a minister of the gospel, you just finish a powerful message. Everywhere was steaming. Smoke everywhere. Cha, 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 cha. Smoke everywhere. And then the next thing, something happened that you responded to flesh. Hallelujah. God is just showing you who you are. You are still a man. Hallelujah. And those things are very good for you. You see, that's why you don't take glory for anything God does. Through you, you don't own the glory. So Peter, you know, Satan has one mind, I guess. Satan always likes to mock us. You know, have you ever asked, why is this Peter that they used? You know, God used Peter, Satan used Peter. So Satan always wants to tell God, oh, is this your guy? Okay, so now Peter is your guy, Abi. Oh, Pastor Friday is your guy now. Okay. Don't be only you if you use them. Miss Abi. And after Satan will tell God, you see, I've told you, God, man does not want it. Satan actually wants to discourage God. For God to say he's not doing salvation program again. I'm tired. Imagine God say, ha! Emergency meeting. We have invested so much in this salvation program. And I'm beginning to feel that Project Man does not want it anymore. Satan is praying. If there's anything Satan wants, it's for God to give up on man. That's what he's looking for. I told you, it's me that they like. Nobody likes you and your laws. There's one movie I watched one time. It was acted by this guy, Sean Connery, and Richard Gere. I think maybe it's The First Knight. It's about Arthur of Camelot. So, Sean Connery there was King Arthur in that movie. He had a kingdom that he had knights there. All those knights there gather around. Powerful movie. They got around the table. They were 12. They were brothers. He was their king, but when they gathered on that table, he was brethren. So one of them broke out. His name is called Malagat. Is it Malagat? I forgot his name. He broke out of that kingdom. Camelot represented a kingdom of love. But the guy did not like that kingdom. He just represented Satan. So he broke out of that kingdom and took knights away. It's like Satan. So all they were looking for is to destroy that kingdom. It's a long story. But the one place in the movie that is very powerful was when they now invaded that kingdom when they were doing a major ceremony. I think they were trying to do pass a judgment upon a guy. And when this knight that was banished from the kingdom came back, he was now condemning that kingdom. He said, "This is a terrible kingdom, I've told you. Nobody wants your laws. Nobody wants your kingdom. Nobody cares about your love." That's what Satan wants. Satan wants to look at angels still submitting under God. You people, you are fools. Free yourself. I give you liberty and freedom. I give you the option of becoming yourself. You don't have to become Elohim's slaves. You have a right to follow your own destiny. Join me and I will show you the way. All I said is Satan. You can see his motivation, sir. Satan can motivate you outside of God's will. So Satan deliberately at times goes after you. You that you are hearing gospel. You that you are hearing doctrine. You that at times grace flows through you. Maybe one time, you know, God uses you to serve your brethren. And your brethren say, "Hey, man of God. Ah, thank you. Thank you, sister so-and-so. You are a blessing to us. You are strengthening us. And we are seeing Christ in your life." Sir, you should know. Satan will come. A level. A level. Now I don't know. Satan will now do something that will make your weakness show. Maybe you have been loving people. You have been loving people. You have been forbearing. You know, people, brethren, you are just trying your best. You say, even when brethren are fighting, you won't settle it. Don't fight. Eh? Don't you understand that the Bible said in Romans chapter? They won't ever say one day. It is you that now got angry. Oh, what fire. You can't scatter. Everybody going to say, "Hey." So, this sister is not holy. Then you felt ashamed. So, and then you are still expecting that your brethren will at least understand and encourage you. Then your brethren start departing from you. I said, some people even think that you don't say, then you now hear your brethren, they are saying things at your back. Can you understand what I'm talking about? At that time, Satan will now come and whisper to your ear. You know, Satan will ask, what's so in English? Satan will whistle and say, bright. Brother of God. You know, I told you. This brethren project does not worth it. You see, all that you have been doing, now just little mistake. You now see what they decided to you. So I just told you that it doesn't worth it. Live your life. Be free. For once, enjoy yourself. For once, focus on yourself. For once, chop life. I just said that to advise you. Oof, oof. All of a sudden, you just... So Satan deliberately goes after those that are receiving understanding. So Satan went for Peter deliberately. Of course, he wanted to see if he could use Peter to stop Jesus. But he also wanted to make a fool of Peter. At times when Satan used you and he has gone, he's gone. You feel used. You now feel condemned. Oh, I'm not growing. I'm just wasting my time. Me oja. a whole meal. Oh. Ah, there's no hope. There's no hope. There's no hope. I've been in this water since. And pastor says some people are in the water said they don't have water. So I don't have water. Even my soul is waterproof. As you are saying, I said, I'm saying yes. Ali, go, waterproof, they call. Ali, go, your soul is gold proof, Zev. So, I'm saying this for us to understand that. The church has not done well in this area. You know, recently there are some ministers that they came out, maybe issues came out that they did, and people turned their back. I'm just wondering that, just in a moment, these people that heaven used so much, all of a sudden, they are not popular again. I said, we don't know how it means to nurse people back to health. You know, those are the kind of skills that we need to learn. I don't know. So I've forgotten those ministers. As in, just forgotten. There's a particular minister that is going through a lot currently. I'm so touched because so much God has used that man to do. The things they are crucifying him for were things that happened in the past. Yes, sir. You know, people, you know, we quickly excuse ourselves. Me, that's why I think that a minister should not paint that he's perfect. It's a problem. That's why I say you should not call me anything. Is the truth. Because a lot of people could not relate with it. Yes, sir. So more terrible, terrible assault. And I know it's Satan. It's Satan that is after the church. I don't know why I'm breaking into this. Because if you don't have these hearts, we can't restore people.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's true.
We can't restore people. After Peter denied Jesus 3 times, Peter felt bad. He was crying. He told himself he doesn't want it. He didn't go and kill himself like Judas. He says, I go a fishing. I go a fishing. That was a statement. You know, I know some people use it as evangelism statement. It was a statement of loss of hope. Let's go a fishing. It's not a theme for evangelism, sir. When you say let's go a fishing, it's like this old Jesus project is finished. Let's go back to our former life. Let's go back to go and fish. The most important thing, what struck me about Jesus, that Jesus still went for Peter. You know, the Lord, was my wife that was telling me about the nature of God. You know, when she was reading about the lineage of Jesus, that 2 women that were in the lineage of Jesus, there were people that don't want it. Rahab was a prostitute. See, listen. How many of you have a room for a prostitute in your heart? Huh? What I mean a room in your heart? A prostitute. That can you? Do you ever believe God can use a prostitute? You know, there's a way we view, even when the person is repented. But oh my, the prostitute in Delhi. If anything happens, maybe that prostitute is your friend and all that is coming to your house and is getting close to your husband. Yeah. Honey, I just want to remind you that, you see, Sister Tade was a prostitute. And you know, God is still dealing with us. We don't know what she's still in her soul. That your heart is afraid. I'm just telling you the way at times you use people's parts to haunt them. Many of us are not merciful. Like we don't have a past. And I think people that are like that mostly are people that they were morally okay. Yeah, I always notice that they say people that did sin well that Jesus used most. That's the reason why you don't have fire. You are a normal person. Oh, yato. The only thing is that you are speaking in tongues. Shakolo, 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 shakolo. Like bro John. That's the only difference. Your soul does not have fire. Eh? There's not really so much. So, you know, the people that went into sin, deep into sin, when they catch Jesus, they run all the way. Because they knew they were much forgiven. And they loved Jesus more. Can we say amen? I can hear you say amen. Take me back to Romans chapter 8. So, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, it secures the soul. In the liberty that Christ gives the soul. Now look at verse 6. For to be carnally minded is dead. Look at that. But to be spiritually minded, and let me not stay here too much. Let me just tag that place. To be spiritually minded is where I'm going. To be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. Now this is it. Now the trust of the doctrine of Christ is to make you spiritually minded. To be spiritually minded means you are governed by the law of the life. Now you can have the law of Christ, but it has not fully minded you. Whatever minds you means that is the one controlling you. You are settled in that thing. To be carnally minded is dead. But to be spiritually minded, can we say spiritually minded? Is what? Life and peace. Or we can say life and godliness. So a spiritually minded man is a man that has cut covenant with what? With the law of Christ. So cut covenant with the law of Christ means that that law has developed a nature in you that has become yours. So you mind that law. Because that law is the law that you are now submitted to. It's now the law ruling you. So it doesn't matter what people do to you. You respond by your law. That's what times when somebody abuse you, do you have to abuse back? Somebody cheated you, do you have to cheat back? Somebody uses your things. Does not mean you have to react. You react based on your law. So there's no excuse for living in the flesh, even when people push you to the wall. In fact, it's good for people to push you to the wall so that you will be able to know where you are, so that you can work on yourself. For instance, part of the futures of charity is that it's not easily provoked. So when you're easily provoked, the problem is not people provoking you. It is you that you are easily provoked. God has to show you that so that you can work on yourself. Because if men can provoke you, how much more evil spirits? Evil spirits can provoke people. That's a very good thing about brethren life. It helps you know where you are. So you can now know how to ask God for help. And God will design it so that you will not have perfect people around you. It's not easy. This is where friction is. Amen. You know what it means to correct somebody every day for the rest of their life? We are hoping that one day they will change. The Bible says that hope deferred. Sir, when this guy go change? You have to sing. At that moment, you know, you are boiling. I've tried for this person. This person has not changed. You see, at that point, they are expanding your strength. You need to now move into a realm where you are empowered from inside to forbear more. You know, God will stretch you to a point where you will break limits. Then you cannot ask God for grace. All that thing is arrangement to save your soul.
Hallelujah.
Can we say amen? I'm not hearing you say amen. No.
Amen.
All of us, we have limits. Even somebody that you think is gentle. That brother. Obinuri, oh gentle. They will look for your kind. They will look for your own kind. The one that gets you angry, they will look for it for you. So, can we say amen? I'm just showing you the way God is designing to save the soul. So, the covenant of life and peace is what secures the soul in the inheritance of the new man called Christ. So when you say somebody is spiritually minded, it is because he is governed by that law. And this is where, this is the beginning of a journey into glory. What did I say this is? He says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. This statement touches me all the time. Because what he's telling us is that you have an enemy of God inside you. A carnal mind is God's enemy. And as long as truth of Christ has not saved that soul, the soul see as what it takes to be an enemy of God.
Yes,
this is very fearful.
Yes,
and God knows that. God knows that all of us can turn against him. Every one of us. If they don't deliver you from this thing, you have the capacity to curse God. All of us, we have the potential. It's in us. There's something God can... Satan can touch that will trigger that. Of course, now it is that God is loving. I love God. I will always love God. I will seek you forever, everlasting, everlasting to ever. So there's a way Satan will touch your soul. That when you think of God, you think of cursing God. We all have that tendency inside of us, and this is why they must expire those natures in us. Can we say amen? That's what it means to be salvation, is to be free from the hold of sin.
Amen.
Free from the government of sin.
Amen.
You are free from it. Free means that no matter any pressure that is put from you on the outside, what comes out from the inside is the Lord that has framed you.
Amen.
Can we say amen?
Amen?
At the height of Jesus' pain, he still forgave. You don't understand? You don't understand for somebody. You know, there are some people that are waiting for you to fail. Oh, you don't know. I'm not talking about demons. I'm not talking about evil spirits. Men. Sometimes even brethren. Sometimes your fellow brother in Christ wants you to fail. Sometimes a fellow minister wants you to fail. All these people teaching word of righteousness. Let them even mess up so that we'll let them know that we told you. Some people are even, they are praying. So imagine that in the midst of Jesus' that was a downtime for Jesus, in quotes, of course, to he was not in that was a path to glory. So at times you need to even die to what people call shame. Because that thing that you are going through is your path to glory. So Jesus was being crucified. It looks like a shameful thing, Abby. A thing of shame, because he was crucified as a common state criminal. And he was an innocent man. So, an innocent man being framed for what he did not do. And then people are now hearing it. It becomes public news. How many people do you want to defend? Me, Oshay. Me or she, I didn't do it. Even if you try, people will not believe you. Have you ever seen those kind of framing? You will live with the shame. Eh? You will live with the smell of shit around you. And then you will love God and not even be moved around it. So Jesus was facing that. And then somebody comes and says, you see, you are the Son of God. So that was at the height of your dealing. Somebody is now mocking you. That's the time that all the forces, all the horror that you have not said, all the you will talk. So you can see training of righteousness. Training of righteousness is a strong thing, sir. Amen. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
I'm rounding up. Sir, training of righteousness will train your soul to the point that it will affect your tongue. Bridle your tongue. You'll have so much power on your inside that when you revile not.
Yes,
oh, those are strengths. When you are misinterpreted, you dust it off. You know the real shame is to be naked. It's not the shame that everybody now believes that I am what I am not. All of us need to die to the opinion of the world. All of us, many of us are not really concerned about what God sees about us. So the carnal mind is God's enemy. And it's what the covenant of Christ wants to deal with. The carnal mind is in us by agreement. Oh, the carnal mind can run anything. It can run church. At times when you see some minister, the way they talk, it's not even because of eloquency. There's a way they ascribe the success of ministry to themselves. There's a way, you know, you it's indirect. You know, when the Lord was teaching me how to pray, I thank God, sha. You know, there's a way, you know, by the time you look at it, you see more of, you say, this minister is powerful. That's the impression you go, you know, there's a way I can listen to you and what I see is the greatness of Jesus. Jesus. But there's a way I can listen to you and say, Kai, powerful man of God. So, a minister can use Jesus and sidetrack Jesus. So he's not the focus. You know that there are more powerful ministers, more anointed, more obedient that they were never known. So you know, because we ascribe ministry success to the accuracy of a minister. At times, God can choose to make a minister popular, not because of anything he did. It's just God's choice. I'm just showing you that the carnal man is what God wants to first take away to now separate you unto glory. Can we say amen? Oh, you're not saying amen.
Amen.
I say God will grant us breakthrough. We have to crack the carnal code. It's a mystery. He runs us. And at times, you know, you even feel that you are free, then you have the carnal mind will remind you that I'm still here. When circumstances happen, you have a thought somewhere. Say, I'm still here. I never finish you. I'm still there. That carnal mind is in enmity against God. Because he cannot subject himself to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. So take me back to Peter. So divine power is for the purpose of crushing the carnal mind. You know, it means it takes power to deal with that mind. You need to arrest the carnal mind. To arrest the program of carnality, you need power. from a soul to be free from the laws of Mr. Flesh. We need power. So power is what guarantees things of life and godliness. Through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. We'll continue from verse 4, but let's just look at it next week. I just want to stop before 9. Look at verse 4. Whereby are given unto us. This was a very powerful assembly. So, I believe that we're in that season where God wants to give us things.
Amen.
God wants to give you things. Are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. That by these. No, there's a way we have read this scripture before. There's a way. It's like we are already partaking of divine nature. That is how it's being taught generally. Number one, we don't know what divine nature is. But it says, by promises. So what are these promises? That's the first question. It says, whereby are given unto us. Who are the us? So remember that this epistle started talking to those that have obtained what? Like precious faith. So if you have not obtained like precious faith, you have not entrusted this thing to you. There are those that they can entrust it to. Can we say amen? Whereby given unto us exceeding great and what? Precious promises. Can we say promises? He says that by these. We'll look at it next week. We need to know those promises. By these. Ye might be what? Partakers. Two words. Part. Take. Take your part. That you may be partakers of what? The divine nature. So I cannot take the divine nature by confessing I have it. I cannot take the divine nature by believing I have it. I was reading the material. A minister was writing. He says, it was painted, just align in your heart and agree that you have life. You know, we always want to play down on that area of the soul making journey. As long as we are like that, we won't go anywhere. There's nothing you can. No, this man, this person knows this word. He doesn't just want to continue in it. It looks at like the word, the path is long. So just agree. Just agree that I have that thing. I'm in alignment with it. I'm in alignment with the throne. Believe it. Just believe right now. Have that consciousness that you are seated on the throne. You know, this is me. My allegiances are based on truth. And it's based on Bible. As long as what you are teaching, I can see it in the apostles, I am okay. And Jesus Christ. The problem is I don't see where Peter says, just align. Neither you see where Paul says, just agree. They keep saying walk. What did I say they keep saying? Oh, are you ready? Why are they saying walk? It means there's a journey. They said walk 50 times in scripture. Over 50 times. What are you walking in? I thought, if it's something you agree, you don't need to walk. They don't even use only W-A-R. They even use W-O-R-K. They even use walk. Okay, listen to this. We don't do works. Just agree. This is not the era of works, the era of grace. Keep quiet. When the scripture says you will labor to enter rest, what kind of labor is that? I thought you said we should just agree. Therefore, let us labor to what? Do I need to labor? Why do I need to labor? I just agree. I mean rest. I just say it and I'm in it. Hallelujah. He says, let us labor to enter these rests. Let's labor. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. Let any man fall after the same example of unbelieving. Hey. Meaning there's a journey into rest. Yes, so the Old Testament is just a shadow of the real. Yes, Egypt, they're journeying from Egypt to the promised land. Yes, so that journey is a journey of the soul. The new birth does not substitute for your walk. You will walk. What did I say? Now let me round up at this point, because some of us, we already started getting tired and you have not started walking. You are going to Lagos and you have just walked to Iwo Road. And you are already complaining. Sir, your journey is still long. So we need to let you know, listen to this. The journey into glory is a long walk. What did I say? In December, I did one movie, Walk to Freedom. I think he did it, Mandela's Long Walk to Freedom. It was a long walk, sir. He was in prison for 27 years. So that is it. When you are saying you want to walk with God, some of you just think it's a part-time thing. Now, you know the way we do walking with God, even though we see God as, we do God part-time. Now we want to get God, but we do him part-time. Once in a while, you do God. If you do God once in a while, you can't get him in the lifetime of your flesh. Now, if you do God 24/7, you would still need mercy. You don't understand? You do God 24 hours of the day, like you're obeying God, like all for God, none of self. I'm just doing your will, oh God. Sir, oh, she needs mercy.
Yes, sir.
Because it will take the mercy of God to cut things short, what? In righteousness. Well, sir, wakast ye day. What did I say? So start walking. And stop complaining. Start walking. Because your walk, is what measures your building. What did I say your walk does? So I can't partake of divine nature except I handle promises that show me the wisdom of accessing them and making it mine. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Amen. The Lord will help us.
Amen.
I said the Lord will help us.
Amen.
I'm just seeing how we need a lot of help. My wife was saying this to me today, and we're just encouraging one another. You say, it's not easy to change a soul. I know where she was talking from. You know, to convert a soul. A whole lot of power. But it's not impossible. I can tell you, it's not easy. Truly, it's not easy. So what she said is scriptural. You know why it's not easy? Ask me why. And all of you is now asking me why. The soul is rich. So sir, I'm not rich. Sir, you are not rich in money. So, some of you are richer than Dangote. Dangote has money. You have more than money. You have pride. So, the reason why it takes a longer time to save the soul are the things that the soul has. The soul does not easily relinquish those things. Jesus himself says it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle. It's a gate in Israel where the camel has to unburden all this load, crashes himself and cross through that gate. Then for what? A rich man to enter the kingdom. A rich man is not just a rich man in money. We all have different riches. Some of us, our own riches is our righteousness. Holy Mary. So some people, that's their own riches. They are so rich in it. We have all many things that the soul is rich in many things. So it takes time to empty a rich soul. And at times God cannot do crash program for many of us. We can't survive it. Actually, there's a crash program to quickly save a soul. There's that part. If you read Final Quest, there is that part. There is a part where you go through on the mountain. There's a shortcut where if you go through that shortcut, you appear at the top of the mountain. Do you know what that shortcut is? Do you want to know?
Yes, sir.
Are you sure you want to know?
Yes, sir.
Suffering. Yeah.
Suffer.
Sir, you go suffer. Suffering. So they said that those that suffered, when they suffered, they stayed in suffering. Many of them did not grow by light.
Yes.
They didn't grow so much by light. They grew by suffering. So when they stayed long in suffering, Jesus just opened a door for them. So they had, they will understand the Lord eventually. They stayed long. Not many of us can do it. You see, Jesus may not be able to have one in 1,000 that can go through that kind of training. But you will go through certain kind of things that you cannot describe. Where even brethren will reject you, sir. You say, sir, you must be insane. This kind of thing does not happen to God's children. This thing that you are going through is sin. It's only sinners that happens to. You need to go and seek the face of the Lord. Those kind of things that are very contradictory. I've read some of it. I've read about some kind of believers, some kind of dealings. Very strange. Very difficult to even interpret. You need judgment to interpret them. Difficult ones. Meanwhile, God pushed them fast into the world of glory. So many of us, we will not go through that part I said. You can't survive it. So you see, it's this way. No, long call. I come to church, hear doctrine. Oh, I'm rounding up. Come to church, hear doctrine, obey it. Believe me, it's the easiest way. You want to go to that other one I say is shortcut. He's not sure you will survive it. Many will come out offended. Of the serious offense. Because that suffering is not suffering in the spirit, sir. It's both. You don't know the difference if it's in the spirit or in the natural. They mix both together. When I was in school, I read a material by the secretary of Richard Wurmbrand. That was before I knew about Richard Wurmbrand. That was when I knew about Richard Wurmbrand. Her name was Alice Panadior. She wrote something about Flames of Fire. That was a book. I read it before I entered under level. I read that book. I was afraid. It was Christians in Romania. There was one minister that many years after communism left Romania, because they were all communist countries. So it was a minister that used to preach a measure of kingdom light. He now went to Romania. He thought he was teaching present light to them. This is what is happening. This is when God is doing something. This and that. They were just not. They said, we understand you. We know it. He said they knew that. He said all he was teaching, they could relate with it. He said because they are just coming out of suffering. He said they could relate with it. He said they were just nodding their head. So I now understand why Jesus allows physical suffering for some people. Some places where the gospel will not reach first, Jesus will grant some people grace to suffer much. It's grace. You even need grace for it. So if you have grace to hear doctrine, you better be thanking God. Some people, doctrine has not gotten to them. Jesus even uses their physical environment to trigger suffering. You don't understand? Where the physical environment is to trigger suffering externally. You know, there are some external suffering that will produce internal suffering. If you have a country where the government is against the Christian faith, We have brethren in China, brethren in the Middle East. That's what they are going through. There's so much suffering that they are going through currently that I believe that God is just holding them for a season. And is bringing them closer. Many of them, by the time God the Lord releases some of those harvests, the whole world will be shocked. This is one that our idea of Christianity is only America. We will be shocked. Or our idea of Christianity is Nigeria. We will be shocked. God has a joker. But what I'm telling us now is that, you see, all of us that can enter the same suffering, now, it is not in the natural, now, in the spirit. Because through the doctrine, it is God's mercy to us. We should quickly grow with it. Because if we do not, the Lord is going to be forced to trigger a worldwide tribulation. That no matter where you go on planet Earth, except you choose not to be identified as a Christian, there will be physical tribulations on the earth. It's even going to still happen. The thing is that we should go into the tribulation in the spirit. There is one that is coming on the earth. It will come upon every soul on the earth. Either Christian or non-Christian. But for us, it is now true doctrine. So when you see those apostles, all those epistles, they have wisdom of entering into the sufferings of Christ. The purpose of that suffering is to break the influence of carnality on the soul. You know, there's a kind of suffering that they can trigger from the external that will push you into the spirit, where you'll now be able to see the worthlessness of the natural. You will see it. God forbid, when war happens, all your savings, all the things you use to define your life, car, house, investment, everything that makes you a big boy today. Imagine what happened to the Biafrans. 3.5 years of war. By the time the war was over, they just gave everybody £20. No matter how rich you were, they went to zero. If you were a billionaire before, £20. So just a war can level you. All, you know, we are teaching you by doctrine, understand that all these things, they are not your life, but you not agree. The pastor is saying they are all. They want us to be poor. Me, I'm not poor. By the time something external happens, you yourself, you see the worthlessness. I don't know if you are hearing me. What happened during COVID here? You have work, you can't go there. You have car, you can't drive it. Yeah, we see our... We're not going through COVID in Nigeria. Yeah. Our own was COVID. It's not COVID. You have car, you can't ride it. You cannot go anywhere. Every other thing does not make sense anymore. Some rich people were frustrated. Some people died of depression. All of a sudden, everything did not make sense anymore. So you don't need physical tribulations to tell you that the life of a man does not work in the abundance of things that he has. Doctrine should show you that. So this is time for you to yield to God and save your soul so that you can come into glory. Let us begin to talk to God. Can we talk to God tonight? Father, we give you thanks. Lift up your hands and just receive grace. The Lord is helping us in this season, empowering our hearts to yield to Him. Father, we give you thanks. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you glory. 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 Thank you. Can we lay down our lives before the Lord once again? Lay your life down before the Lord once again. Once again. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Ramenia Kabaranatea. Rede foroga lisha premenia la crumelia babaronetada. Oh Lord, lia kraba kadiatea. Lord, we receive mercy. We receive mercy. We receive mercy. I don't want you to measure your life by what you don't have or you have in the natural. Listen to me. At times, the enemy will come and measure your life by what you lack in the natural. And the thing can touch you. But I can tell you, that is not the measurement of God for a life. The greatest thing that can happen to you on earth as I speak, is to grow in stature, in conformity with the Son. Some people that had near-death experiences and they came back, they saw how worthless the earth was. So your measurements, when Satan makes you feel not having the things that this world gives, is lack of God's blessing in your life. Remember that the greatest gift you can give back to God is that you use time to get Him. Because it takes mercy to find God in time. Can you pray that prayer? That I will use my time to seek God. I will use my time in the flesh to acquire life. Come on, talk to God. I will use my time in the flesh to acquire life. Lord, I give you thanks, Lord God, tonight. Thank you for speaking to us. Lord, I ask for grace for my brethren. Help them in this season to make the progress that they need to make. Walking with wisdom, redeeming the time for the days are evil. There's nothing on this head that there is joy inside, brethren. The greatest joy is for a man to find himself in conformity to the image of the Son of God. That's the greatest thing that can happen to you. Come on, receive grace tonight. Father, we give you thanks. Father, I pray for the supply of your Spirit tonight upon every heart of those hearing this word, that you give your people understanding. You magnify and exalt Jesus in their hearts. Lord, plant in our hearts fresh love for you. A new desire to seek you. A new desire to commit ourselves to you. To yield to the process of obedience to righteousness and full conformity to the image of the Son. Lord, our desire is to answer the call to receiving and inheriting your glory in our mortal flesh. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Come on, begin to thank the Lord tonight.
Thank you for listening. We believe you have been greatly blessed. For further information, you could visit our website at www.thecitygatechurch.org. God bless you.